Oh, yeah, I try not to. That's my thing. It's the key. When I go to the doctors, it's kind of challenging. And you know you're aging when the first question they ask you is, have you fallen since the last time you've been here? And some of us have our goals in life to accomplish, and I will just like to tell them, no, I haven't. I used to like going through the airport and not setting off the security thing, and then they put a pacemaker in. And it's like, really? I can't even do that anymore. I was looking for my glasses, but I found them. We're just glad to be here with you today. Last night I got a message from Pastor Ray, not to ask me to teach. He wanted an outline. The only problem is I got the message at like 10:30. We had a Spanish dinner last night with our Thanksgiving dinner, and I just told my wife this morning it was real easy to clean up. We had a bunch of the high school kids volunteer to help cook and prepare and stuff, and also they helped clean up. In the way that you would think, there were some bones left. Let's put it that way. There was half of a piece of cake and one piece of pie. So if you want, I could bring that in and we could share it. We had a tremendous time. It's such a blessing to see the high school kids here at the school want to serve, to be a part and serve people that they don't even know, but they want to help. And I think more and more we need to be encouraging others in that same vein, and especially our young folks. It was great to see them there last night and watch them help out. We had a couple families from the school come as well. So last night I ended up having to teach translate for myself because about 10 people didn't understand any Spanish or more, 10 or more. So I said, well, we'll just translate for ourselves and go on. And that's where last night when Pastor Ray asked for the outline, I realized my outline was in Spanish completely, but my message is bilingual. I just have to swing it back and forth, and hopefully I catch the right side for y'all this morning. Only once I got crossed up last night, and that was for justifiable reasons. But the Lord is good, and it is just a blessing being here with you this morning. My granddaughters got off really good last night. Two of my granddaughters, we had a birthday cake for Tammy. She was in the bulletin last week, her birthday was yesterday, and so what she got to do for her birthday is cook four big turkeys and stuff. I just try to do as much as I can for her. Guys, I just give you some suggestions. A present for your wife. Have her cook for 60 people for her birthday. But the granddaughters brought her out a cake last night, and I got zero credit, not just for the cake, but she counted. I didn't realize she was actually counting the candles on it. There was 19. And she made it a point to tell me multiple times, they put 19 candles on there. Okay, so I think she thinks that they think that she's 19. But guess what? Those granddaughters they just moved themselves up on the food chain, you know. You put 19 candles on the cake, and they're good. So, but hey, we're here for the lesson this morning. I got to check to see if her clock is 5 minutes early or not, because sometimes the clock up on the wall here it moves back and forth, and I get to use it during the Spanish service. But this morning I want to just share a message, a study that I was looking at. The flags that, let's just get over to the text in Psalms 60. Psalms 60, verses 1 through 12. We will not read them all, but I just want to go ahead and take a look at a couple key verses here. And Psalms 60, maybe just look at a couple of verses here. Just read from verse 2. We'll just read from 1 through 4. And Psalm 60, verse 1 through 4. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breach thereof. For it shaketh. Thou hast shown thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of animosity. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed before because of the truth. That's where I want to stop, and I think just want to look at that verse 4 is where we're going to really focus on the banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. And I just want us to stop and ponder on that, a banner that God has given us, that is over us, and actually banners. So let us pray, and then we're going to just look at the word for a bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We ask you to guide now. We ask you to teach our hearts, encourage us in who you are and all that you are to us, in the banners that you've placed above us, Lord, to mark us as your own. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, even through the hardest of times and through the wonderful times. We thank you that you're always there. And we ask you to guide now, pray that your spirit would enlighten our hearts to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as we stop and think about the history of banners, what is it when we read about banners? Back in the Roman time, the banners weren't just like today. We used to have banners up. Now we have TVs. Guess what? They put banners on TVs, too. I don't know if you know the internet. That's what they call those things, or banners. I was surprised. But it runs across there, at the top of our prayer letters, is a banner. Is that, and just basically indicates what is the purpose of this. But in the Roman time, they used to use cloth, stone. That's a pretty heavy banner to put over top of somebody. Wood, and then pretty much any material they want. Then in the medieval times, they used banners as a coat of arms. Or a family crest, indicating what family are you from, or what is your position. All that was included in your banner during the medieval times. The shopkeepers put up banners, or signs as we call them today too, indicating what is our purpose here? What is it? What are we all about? And that's what it comes down to. And then we have, like I said, on the internet, the political position. We have everything has got a banner these days, got a label, as we could say it. But what banner is over us? That's what we need to stop and think. And here in this text, the verse 4, it says, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. And this banner is really called, is in the Hebrew, is Jehovah Nissi. Is the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner. He is the one that is over us. And that's what we have to stop and think this morning. Who is he? What is that banner saying to us and to all those around? It was last week, I believe. I'm trying to remember what date it is. I mean, I was partying all night last night. And then I was translating into I don't know which language. I don't know what language Pastor Ray got, but he didn't say it was wrong, so I guess it was English. It could have been Es Echa for all I know. But I But as I stop and think about it, last Sunday was veterans, was it not? Yeah, okay. And I was looking for somebody, and I came around the hallway, and these guys are all in these different outfit with these flags above them. And I wonder, I said, wonder what all that means. I didn't wonder, I knew. Each one of them was a symbol of what branch of the military. It wasn't just, okay, which flag do I want? I want this one. No, nuh-uh. Yeah, you wouldn't make Don Graff switch flags with somebody else. He wasn't going to do that. He had his flag in each one. You know, it's because the banner over them indicated who they were and who they were dedicated to and who they invested their lives in. It wasn't just to have a nice flag. You know, a lot of times we have that today where we, oh, yeah, that looks really nice. No, it's not something that looks really nice. A banner is something that it's about dedication and giving ourselves over to it. And that's what we stop and think about. I grabbed some of these flags that we use on our international deal, and obviously we all know this one, and it's great to have it above us and indicating who we are. But then there's some other folks who have this flag. I'm not sure why. The Brazilians, and I'm just going to leave it at that, you know, and they get their flag, which indicates they're from Brazil. And some people will do this. Have them both. They will symbolize who they want. They want to identify with both. They say, hey, and no different than the military. Yeah, yes, they have their branch flag, but they also have the American flag above that. And that's, hey, this is who we are. We're more than just one flag a lot of times. And that's what we have to stop and think about. Or the Mexican flag. And that doesn't mean tacos, enchiladas, and as Pastor Standard used to say, is all of his Spanish words had food to do with. Or you can have the Bolivian flag, and that's the one I would hold up with this one. When we talk about it, I like having them both indicating who we are and who we've been and what we're about. And that's what it comes down to as Mr. Omar constantly introduces me from, oh, he's a Bolivian. Well, I thought I was born here in the U.S., but guess what? Banners over me, both. And again, is it wrong? No. God has placed several banners over us, and we're going to get into that. But he is, if you want to try to bring it all together, he is our banner, Jehovah Nissi. Yes, that's what we have to stop and realize. What, you know, why do people carry flags? As much as I had mentioned already, some of this is that it shows the authority under what we serve. The ambassadors and embassies around the world have flags over them. Those flags indicate under what country they are ruled, not what country they're in. You go to an embassy in Bolivia, the U.S. embassy, inside of that embassy is not the Bolivian laws, it's the laws of the United States. And it's a huge difference. Under what banner do we live? And that's what it comes down to. It's under what authority do we stand? And as I mentioned, different groups, whether different branches of the military, you go around, see people's cars, and a lot of times I'm doing that when I'm out visiting, and I see a different flags on people's mirrors. And guess what? I say, oh, it's going to be a Honduran. That's going to be from, that's the flag they got there. Or even a sports team person, you see them with their team flags up. Some people don't put their flags up much anymore for their sports team. I'm just talking about the Redskin fans, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to get a drink of water here because I drifted a little bit. Yeah, I gotta say, the Redskin flag is at half mask right now. I'm sorry, that is absolutely brutal. I almost withdraw that. Pretty much no. I'm a Cowboy fan. Yeah, that explains it all. No, I. I did a funeral for my brother-in-law, and it was in September. And I I knew he was a diehard Eagles fan. That was tough. And he was more than diehard. I mean, he was it. They actually had the Eagles bus in front of the church, and his coffin had an Eagles emblem on. And the people were encouraged to wear Eagle jerseys to the funeral. So I'm standing before a crowd, and over 80% of them had on Eagles jerseys. And I just told them straight out, I'm a Cowboys fan. Yeah, you talk about a rough crowd. They were going lynching was coming down the trail real quick. No, but we had a blessed time identifying who we're really under, and that is Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner. He is over us, and that's who we need to stop and think. Much like it's the banners, the flag that is over us, indicates who we stand for, who we fight for. As David said in 1 Samuel 17:29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David stood up for a cause. He knew what flag was being flown over Israel. It wasn't just their flag. Their banner was Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi. That was what was over. And he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to stand here against giants? And that's what he was declaring. And so who we're gonna stand for, who we're fighting for, who we're going to dedicate ourselves to. And that would be the next thing we need to stop and think. The flag or banner indicates who we are going to dedicate ourselves to, who we're going to serve. And that's what we're going to do with our lives. The banner declares in whom we're being, in who we are confident. You know, again, the verse I mentioned about David, he was confident in God, not himself, not in even his king. You know, so often we get worried about who's this and who's this politician. No, I just want to know who is God. And when that's settled, we're good. I don't know what's going to happen, but guess what? God has all the answer. And that's what we have to say. The flag will indicate who we're dedicated to, what banner is over us, and who we're trusting. You know, not just who we're dedicated to or who we're serving, but in who we're trusting. What banner's there? That's over us. And we have to stop and consider that. We have, and there's multiple banners in our lives. Yes, there's one above all, but there's other banners that God himself has placed up there over us that help people see who we are. And that's where we have to stop and think. And God has given us several banners, and as we look at this, I want to just stop and take a peek into that in Psalms, verse 20, verse 5. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of God, we will set up our banners. My Lord, forever, all your petitions. And as we stop and think about that, it just makes it very clear, the name of our God will be set up, will set up our banners, the banner of victory. We are victorious. That is one of the banners that he puts up there, that we are victors. We're not losers. Just by chance, does anybody know the class verse in here? I just wonder if you're off the top of your head. Mr. Dave, could you lead us in that verse again? Ready? Yeah. That's really the banner that's over us. Do we really believe that banner's there? We're winners. Yeah, we're not. Oh man, we lost again. You know, so often you see a player get traded from one team to another, and all of a sudden he's playing better under a different team. Why is that? He realizes that team feels they can win. And whether it be in soccer or football, baseball, whatever, all of a sudden they have that confidence. They say, hey, we can win. The Orioles did it this year. Finally, they're starting to figure out that they actually can win games. No one's told them they can't or convinced them. But that's the way, as Christians, we live so often, as we lost. Oh, the world's so mean to us. Oh, yeah, they are, but guess what? We win. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that. We are more than conquerors, and that's what we have to stop and remember. The flag of victory, we win. That's there, folks. But don't forget about that flag. Don't forget that. That's there indicating the game is over. We're going to win. Now, we just got to run the clock out and just be busy. Don't take a knee to run the clock out. Keep going forward. Keep driving. I'm never fond of taking a knee. You just got to keep playing the game until it's over. But we do win. And that's what we... And then the next one is God himself is our banner. Jehovah Nissi. That is who he is. He is our banner. As in Exodus 17... verse 15 and 16 speaks of that. And Moses, in Exodus 17, verse 15 and 16, it goes down. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. He said, hey, we're going to have fights. We're going to have battles. But Jehovah Nissi is here, Yahweh Nissi. We win. The Lord is our banner, is what it actually, if you translate that into from the Hebrew, it's the Lord is my banner. We win. Yes, the battles will come, but God is our banner. He is the one that is over us. He is on our side. And as Moses went up on the mountain in this chapter 17 and raised his hands, in verse 11, as he raised his hands, the victory was won. As the banner was lifted up, we see victories. And we lower the banners, we tend to get driven back. And we got to stop and think about that. It, so often, that's the case in our Christian life. You know, we don't keep that banner up there. Next thing you know, we're getting driven back. We don't know why. When he's lifted up above us, we're going to see the victory that the first banner spoke of, because the Lord is our banner. When he's lifted up, we can see the victory. The next banner is our banner. Sorry, this one didn't translate. I didn't translate it to English. point C. The banner over us is love. It's actually one of the easiest ones to pull out. In Song of Solomon 2:4. Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banquet house, and his banner over me was love. You know, that banner is over us, his love for us. In the hardest of times, that banner is still there. He loves us so deeply. He gives us the grace to go forward. He gives us the mercy. He sacrificed for us, and he's shown us that love. That banner is over us, that we're loved. We're loved. We're accepted. Amen. So often, and I joke about it with the teens helping out last night. You know why some of them are there? They felt accepted by one of their teachers, the school administrator, and they just wanted to help out because they felt accepted. They felt loved. And when they feel that love, you want to fight more. You're willing to sacrifice whatever, because you know that banner, that somebody loves you, somebody accepts you just as you are. I think God accepts us just as we are. He wants to transform us, but he accepts us just as we are. Yeah, a scary thing just happened as I looked up at the clock. I said, oh, yeah, I got plenty of time. I go to noon. yeah, only problem is in about 20 minutes, I got to switch to Spanish. So... some of you go out to choir, some of you go out to English. I don't know. We'll just see how this goes. So back to another banner is he will raise a flag or banner among the nations, indicating that Israel, he is their caregiver. He is their savior. In Isaiah 11, verse 12 speaks, and he shall set up a sign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather them together the desperation of of Judah from the four corners of the world. He's going to gather them together. He's going to bring them together. He is the liberator. He is the savior. He is the one who cares for Israel. That banner over them is one of again, love and care, but also the one who will free them, liberate them, be their God, and let the nations know. And this is what I spoke of here. And let the nations know around the world, now these are my people. Not just the ones that we're not in a safe environment. Everybody around us can look and say, oh yeah, that's who they are. And that's who they are. When we're down in Bolivia, it was easy to pick us out. I love going to the market with my kids. I could always find them. It was easy. Oh, there's Todd Jr. Oh, there's Tanya and Tina. It was easy to pick them out. Back here in the States, it's a little harder. It's like having a banner over them. Say, okay, I know exactly where they're at. You know, that's how we should be as Christians. Easy to pick out. And say, hey, wait a minute, there's something different about that person. What's going on there? Why, what's different there? That's that banner that God has put over us saying, to all the nations, this is one of mine. Can you see him? He's different. And that banner actually should be coming from us, the way we live. And as that banner over us, and say, wow, they're unique. A unique people. We can go over into Hebrews and look at that. And that's where we stop and see that. Another one is the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of God, will raise up a standard or a banner against our enemies. Not only one indicating we are his, but that we're victorious. Back to the first banner. He is our defender, showing that we have somebody on our side. Yeah, he's on our team. You know, and back to the days of the Baltimore Ravens, when Ray Lewis would come out of the tunnel, the other team would just, their arms would get a little heavier because they realized, oh, he's the defender on their team. Really? Can't he stay home this week? Yeah, again, anybody that's followed sports would think that. Or Lionel Messi, who came here to the U.S. to play soccer, the Argentinian, one of the greatest soccer players ever to play. Some saying the greatest ever, playing for the team in Miami. He shows up, the team's in dead last place, and they win the first tournament that they're in. Because he was here. He walked out on the field, and other teams just said, no, really? We're going to lose now, because he's on their team. And that's what we have. That's that banner over us. One, that we are his. And two, that he's defending us. That's another one of the banners. We're not in this alone. Some of you enjoy sports. Again, I'm sorry for all the sports examples, but basketball. I've only ever played on one basketball team in my life. My kids all can play very well. I cannot. They can all sing very well. I cannot. I gave all my gifts away. But Pastor Josh enjoyed playing basketball when I could play in the alumni games and staff against the students because I never take a shot. You know why? Because then I'd never miss. Yeah, I passed the ball, and he liked playing with me because, okay, yeah, I'm open, pass me the ball. Okay, he'll pass it to me because he knows I'm going to pass it back. I'm not going to take the shot. I played one game. Literally, I can only think of one game in my life where I took shots with confidence because I always played underneath the big guy pushing people around. I knew I got 5 or 6 fouls depending on which game we're playing. I don't know how many points I scored or anything else, but I could get those fouls. But this one game, they said, no, you got to play on the outside. I said, why? And he said, well, this guy, another missionary from Panama was playing. He's 6'9". Jamie Enemark is his name. And they said, Jamie's going to play underneath, and you need to play outside. Okay. I started taking three-pointers, and I made them. That's the ones that you take from way out. I wasn't really worried about making the shot. I was just throwing it up, figuring if I miss, Jamie's going to get the rebound and put it back in. So it's like a pass, shot, pass type thing. It never before in my life did I make three-point shots, except that game I made several. Why? Because I knew who was on my team. Are we living our Christian life that way, that we know who's on our team? That we know who's with us? That banner's there. The world knows. The world sees that we are his. But do we live like we are his, and that he's defending us? He's standing with us, and that's what we need to remember. The banner, the last banner, and is the banner over is the King of Kings, the King of Jews, as it was put over top the cross on Jesus. That's a banner. He's the King of Kings. That's what we need to live, knowing that fact on who he is. We need to see this list of banners that we are victors. He is our banner. He loves us. He will care for us. He will defend us. He will free us. We need to stop and think, and just some application to this is, what banners have we raised in our personal life? What banners have you raised in your home, in your workplace? You know, we get to choose what banner we put up. Have we raised the banner that God is, Jehovah is our God and creator? Have we raised that banner up? He is our God. As Psalms 95:7 says, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hands. Today, if you will hear my voice, as it comes down to, and it says very clear, the flag was being raised here, the banner was being raised. He is our God. Is that being raised in your life, in your home, in your place of work? Or not? Do people know that that's a banner over top of you? And then as we go on, another banner we need to see if it's raised is that the Word of God is the truth. Amen. Not as it contains the truth, but it is the truth. And that's what needs to come down in Deuteronomy 6, 8, and 9. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands. And thou shalt be as frontless before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of your house and on the gates. Write them on the posts of your house and gate. That's bannering. That's making it out there that I believe that the Word of God is the truth. The is that in our life? In our home, do people see that? That, oh, these people believe that the Bible is true. Is the truth. And that's where we need to stop and think. That is, as John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. It is the truth. Is the banner over us that Jesus is our liberator, our Savior, our Lord? Are we trusting in him for our salvation? And this is what we need. Job 19:25 said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. Does the world see that? Or is that banner being lifted up? He's my Redeemer. He is my Savior. Oh, but I haven't witnessed to somebody. Yeah, it's good to witness. We need to be witnessing. But the world should see that, hey, there's something different about this person, just the way they are living. What's going on there? They should see those banners over us saying, whoa, wait a minute. He has a Redeemer. Amen. Who's your Redeemer? Who's the one that gives you hope when there is no hope? As a couple weeks ago, I was able to do a funeral over here, a spur of the moment funeral service. And they asked me actually to do it after I got there, which is not unusual. So I went half prepared, or more than half prepared. You know, the one thing that they got all their attention was, I knew I had a Redeemer. Amen. Not that I hope, I know I have a Lord and Savior. And this is what we need to stop and think. stop and recall and see which banners we've raised over our lives, over our homes, over our jobs, over just who we are, even over our church. So often, a lot of churches, you don't know what they believe even. What's the truth there? But I'm just looking this morning at ourselves. A banner over us in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our author and the finisher. He is all, our all in all. That's what we need to know. And if not the most important one, his banner over us is love. And he loves us. You know, when we know that God loves us and accepts us, you know something? Everything else sort of just fades away. Fades away. As I think about the different ministries we do here, if we can convince people that God loves them, whether we're out soul winning, whether it's in grief share, whether it's in the children's ministry or whatever, if we can convince the people that this banner exists and that they can raise it up over their lives, that they are loved, that's where it comes down to. And that's what we have to stop and think about. This morning, as we consider these, God is your banner, which means he stands for us. God is your banner, which means no matter which trial he comes, he'll be with us. And these other parts of that banner are there, waving, saying, we're not alone in this battle. The victory is ours. And I just close with one more verse. Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates, prepare your way, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highways, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Go out through the gates, declare to all those around us, prepare the highway for the people to return. And that's basically, as we go out and with our banners raised above us, we're preparing the highway. You say, but I can't, I'm not as dynamic as some other people. It doesn't matter. Raise the banners up. Let them see that you believe that God is Lord and that he is over us, that he loves us, that he accepts us, and that we love them. You know, a lot of times the banners over us are going to show people the path home. You know, isn't that the reason? And again, I would be guessing now because I was never in the military. A lot of times when the battle's on, the banner indicates, maybe we got to think about the Star-Spangled Banner. And as the flag was still up, we knew there was still hope. And that's what we're doing. We're keeping that flag up and raised saying, hey, there's hope because we have a Savior. We have a defender. We have one who loves us. We have the truth. Come this way. And as this verse in Isaiah 62 speaks, gather out the stones, make way for people to be able to come to the one. And they could stand under those same banners with us. And that's what we should be doing. The banners that are over us are for three groups of people. One, God wants to mark his people. He wants to show us and tell the world, I love them, I accept them, I've given them victory, I'm their redeemer, I'm their savior and liberator. The second group is ourselves. As we look up and see those banners over us, we know we can keep going on because we're not alone in the battle. And it's to encourage us to keep going as we see the banner, as we see the flag flying over and say, we don't have to give up, even though it is just extremely difficult. We can keep going because those banners are still there. The banner of victory, the banner of love, the banner of deliverance and defending us. We're not alone. He is our banner, our Savior. And then the third group that the banners are for is the world around us. They will see, wait a minute, they got something I want. I want to be loved like they say they're loved. I want to know what the truth is because it seems like that banner over them gives them clear confidence and they got victory. They're going to say, hey, I want to be, can I get under your banner with you? And that's really what it's going to come down to. You know, are we raising the banners up? Are we allowing God to fly over us? And I, this isn't in my notes, and I just wanted one thing to add when it comes to flags, and I see it coming down from Hanover. Camping World, anybody know the big store up there, Camping World? They have this little bitty flag. It's slightly bigger than this. You know what's amazing? When there's a wind. And I've talked to somebody who worked in there. One of the Fenton girls used to work in there, and she said when that flag was blowing, it rattled the cages, basically. It rattled down inside of that office building. But it's one thing when there's no wind. You don't really get to see the magnitude. But when that wind and storm is coming, and when it's blowing, standing out there, and you say, well, wait a minute, that means there's wind, it's tough. That means we can see even clearer that we win. Yeah, so don't think the banners are going to say there's no problems. No, sometimes it's when we have those challenges, those banners are going to stand out much clearer for all to see. We win. We are more than conquerors, aren't we? And that's the banner that's over us. The Lord is our banner. And that's what we have to live that way. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your word. And I ask you now, help us to live under those banners that you've placed over us, and most of all, under you, according to the word, according to your love and character. Help us to show the world in whom we trust and believe. Thank you for being with us. We ask you just to guide in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, thank you for being here this morning, and we'll see what...